Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is your brother Dan, and this is a service of the Virtual Church of Little Saigon. The first reading is from John 15, 12 through 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Good morning. It is Valentine's Day 2021. I won't go into the details of the story of St. Valentine's or the stories behind that. I'll leave it up to you if you want to research it. What I will say is this: if you are lucky enough to have someone in your life that is there for you, that you love, if you're lucky enough to be married to somebody and you stayed married, God bless you. If you stayed married through thick and thin, God bless you. If you stayed married and you raised a family, God bless you. But bottom line is, if you found love in this world between yourself and another person, God bless you, because it is a blessing. Love and friendship is a blessing. Not just in the romantic sense, and that's going to be part of the thing we'll meditate on today. As far as, you know, announcements go, you haven't heard from me in a few weeks. I know that my services have been hit and miss in recent months. I've received advice from many friends that that's okay, that, you know, it's a question of when the Spirit moves you. And I've been in kind of a quiet, contemplative state vis-a-vis my relationship with God for a couple weeks for a lot of different reasons. None of which have to do with losing faith. In fact, if anything, it's probably the opposite. I have never, in my faith journey, been more convinced of the existence of God till now. And you'd say, oh, well, Dan, that sounds crazy, because look around the world. Look at what's going on. Everywhere there are evil people doing evil things. Everywhere there are lies. We live in a world where the people who are authorities are telling people to poison themselves, to suffocate themselves, to poison their children and suffocate their children. And so for you to say, Dan, that you've never had a stronger faith than now, well, that sounds kind of insane, doesn't it? Well, it does. It does sound crazy, but it's the truth. I am certain there is a Lord in heaven. I am not certain what part of the plan we're in as far as the Lord's plan goes. And guess what? It's not my plan. It's not your plan. It's God's plan. And that plan we'll never fully understand, probably until, you know, kingdom come. That's when we'll understand. But right now, we can just make guesses. Right now, we can read the Bible and meditate on words that have been transcribed by monks and thinkers and theologians for centuries in the belief that through all the humanity and all the mistakes and all the sins and all the stupidity, the truth of our Lord always made it through. That too is faith, but it's also a miracle. When I read the Bible, especially these days, I feel like I'm reading a story that just doesn't apply to somebody that lived thousands of years ago, but applies to somebody right now. In this world, Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, the whole story applies right now. So no, you haven't heard from me in a couple weeks, and I am glad to say that I am still alive, that this is still a world that is worth embracing and fighting for to the extent that we can, that this life we're given is worth defending as long as we can, and that we're just going to have to keep going through this, whatever this is. I have in recent weeks tried to see if there are people in the Seattle area who would like to meet up for some type of an in-person service. My guess is most of the Christians in the Seattle area have their own little clusters, and God bless them. And I would also say at this point that there's a certain amount of intelligence, or I should say there's an argument to be made, that keeping these things kind of secret is good too, because we're not in the same situation we were 6 months ago. 6 months ago, we might have wanted to say, well, if just enough of us go out and worship, we can stop this, we can end this. And that might have been true, but that's not what happened. So now we're in the phase of the church being driven underground. Something I told a friend of mine about a year and a half ago, and that friend thought I was crazy. I mean, Dan, you're crazy, the church being driven underground? Yeah. The church is being driven underground. Now, you can say it's just an accidental result of the pandemic, but the thing is, the Walmarts and the McDonald's and the marches involving communists and any number of operations involving the United States military don't seem to require the social distancing. And I will tell this also, and I will state this before God and man, the amount of construction, like building construction, building demolition, including the destruction of homeless shelters, has increased on my block. Okay? That's weird during a pandemic. I wonder if you went to the middle of the 14th century, I wonder if cathedral construction was just going right during the middle of the Black Plague. My guess is no. My guess is too many people were sick. But what I have documented with a camera, and what you can see with your own eyes if you visit 12th Avenue, is the construction keeps going. Not right now. We've just had a faux storm. I mean snowstorm. I say faux storm because I'm not sure what it is, but certainly it's a few inches of something. Not sure what it is. It's cold and it's whitish. I guess it's a snowstorm. So I guess during the snowstorm, it'll be slowed down a little, but you know what's going to be interesting? To see what's going on Tuesday. Because my guess is whether the snow had melted yet or not, the construction will continue. But the churches can't really, though. The construction and the McDonald's and the Walmart and the contact tracing, which if you think about it logically, makes zero sense. All of the things that are ravaging and terrifying and scaring people can continue, but church can't really, unless you go online. Now, you could say, well, Dan, it just means the church has been driven onto the internet. And you know something, guys? That's exactly where the devil wants the church. If the church becomes 100% internet, then the devil wins. I hope you understand what I just said. And if you think that's an anti-technology perspective, it is not. It's not about technology. But it is about the things that technology can't really represent. No amount of virtual reality, no amount of artificial intelligence, no amount of biomedical engineering replaces a handshake, a hug, a smile, or a friend. No amount. The second reading is from 1 Peter 4, chapter 4, 8 through 11. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord in heaven, when the first human beings found themselves wandering through the world, it was a big, empty, scary place. Not scary because it had to be, but scary as a result. A result of choices that were made by Adam and Eve, choices that resulted in the expulsion from paradise. So in the world as it was, when Abraham first encountered you, you encountered a lonely stranger, and you, our Lord in heaven, became his first great friend. Even now, thousands of years later, we find ourselves in a world, a kind of wilderness, manufactured by the works of mankind that are not perfect. We struggle in this wilderness and we seek after the energy to keep going, and through friendship we find it. This is a gift of our Lord in heaven. The devil does not want us to be friends, but Jesus Christ does. This is something worth considering as we think about our situation. Dear Lord, thank you for friendship. Thank you for love. Thank you for the fact that two or more of us can meet in your name, but thank you for the fellowship that two or more of us can find solace with each other in the darkness. Yes, the world can be dark. It can be gray. It can be monstrous. There can be storms at every corner, but with a friend, we can make it. And for many people, that friend might be a cat or a dog. And for those folks, I would say, God bless you and God bless them too, because we need friends. We need friends to remind us why we need Jesus Christ. In your name, Lord, we serve. Amen. The third reading is from 1 Thessalonians 5. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I put you under oath before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It is Valentine's Day. Though I am talking about friendship, and before I go too far, I need to drink a little bit of tea because sometimes my throat gets dry. It is Valentine's Day, and typically when we think about Valentine's Day, we're thinking about romance, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever the case might be in terms of your own, you know, sexuality, that's your business. That's between you and Jesus, as I like to tell people. So typically we don't think about it purely in terms of friendship, but isn't that kind of weird too? A good friend of mine pointed out that one of the curses upon leaving Eden was an enmity. That means a kind of persistent, you know, conflict between men and women. God, the Lord in heaven, cursed the human race with that curse when Adam and Eve left Eden. It's something to think about. It's not to say that men and women can't get along. That's not the point. And it's not to say that we should spin some sort of modernistic misogyny or paternalistic structure to sort of explain this. No, let's keep it really simple. The fact is, we were probably cursed. And the Lord in heaven, well, can curse us in ways that those curses will simply stick forever. So sometimes when we think about our relationship to the person we love romantically, we should consider that question. Is there a perpetual enmity? And again, I'm not talking about specific types of orientation here, but that also is not the key point. You see, one of the things I think is true, though I think is rarer than people realize, because it involves a relationship that is really a kind of three-pronged relationship, but one of the things that I've found to be true, especially among Christians, is that marriages that last tend to be based upon a friendship that lasts. I don't want to, you know, give away too many details, but the marriages I've seen that have done well, the men and the women, they like each other. They just don't love each other, but they get along with each other, which means that there is a romance, a love there between the man and the woman, but there's also a friendship, which is actually a slightly different kind of love, isn't it? Not the same kind. But it can be, and often is, just as powerful. And then there's the third feature for every Christian, the love of Jesus Christ and the love we have towards Jesus Christ. In some ways, you could say that represents the triangle of a perfect marriage. Love of Jesus, love of the other, in that romantic sense, in the sense of man and woman, or whatever the case may be. And then the other kind of love, the friendship love, that exists irrespective of marriage. The love between people, irrespective of anything else being involved. The simple love of friends. And that's what I want to talk about today. Because I don't think it's that simple. I also don't think it's something we should dismiss. And I've come to the belief or the conclusion that social media and the internet is not a very good proxy for it. It doesn't do a good job of representing it. As much as we try to make Facebook and Twitter and Parler and Instagram or any other, you know, World Wide Web internet-based tools the basis for our friendship, they really don't come close. They don't capture very much of it. They capture very finite dimensions. And then these very institutions we're using to express friendship, they have an agenda to create enmity. You see, that's what the devil wants, really. The devil wants men and women to hate each other, absolutely. The devil knew what was going to happen when he offered the apple, so to speak, when he offered the fruit of total knowledge to Eve. He knew. The devil always knew. But it goes further than just enmity between people who are going to have families. It actually has to do with friendship between people on a basic level, or even just the idea that there is a brotherhood of people, that we are all human beings, race, creed, color, irrelevant. Before God, we are all brothers and sisters. We've always been. The devil doesn't want that. The devil wants us to, you know, hate each other. And so when we go on to these social media sites, we'll sometimes be a little bit surprised to find out, and we shouldn't be surprised. We should not be surprised. But we find ourselves surprised to find out that these applications, these websites, these systems actually create a lot of conflict. Well, that's not accidental, guys. It's not. It's not accidental. I was thinking back to high school. I had some really good friends in high school. And this is the thing. I don't know if this is normal. I had a conversation with someone about this once many years ago, and the person I was talking to was trying to claim that men in general tended not to be very good at maintaining friendships over distances or time. I don't think that's peculiar to just men. I think that's actually a function of the times we live in. When I was a teenager, they said, leave home, leave home, leave home. Smart people leave home. Smart people go to college and leave home. Well, here's the problem with leaving home. You can't really go back again. And those friends you made in high school, those friends you made when you were a kid, they do go away. Because that's the nature of time. Think about the messages. I had great friends in high school. In fact, the friends I had in high school, I would say, it's one of the reasons why I made it through high school. In fact, I think that's probably true for a lot of people. You know, the public schools are terrible, but the friends I made were not. And then later on, you know, I had a few friends in college, and I suppose the next period of time where I made a few friends was when I was in the military. And these were people I loved. I did. I loved them. And a lot of them, even though I haven't spoken to them in years, I still care about. I don't really support the military's agenda any longer. I don't really support what we're doing with the military at all, but I do care about those people I met. They're good people. I love them, and they left their impression upon my life. And in recent years, I've made some new friends as a result of my podcast. I did not expect that to happen. I really didn't. I expected to upset people, but not to make friends. I did not expect that to happen, but it did. And those friendships have been critical to my life. In some cases, and I don't want to go into details, so critical that it's been the difference between, I think, life and death. I know it sounds extreme, but we live in extreme times. And I don't know whether I'm a good friend, but I know that these are people I care about. Now, I'll also tell you that in terms of the internet, I've had some really bad experiences developing relationships, one of which I can't go into, but it was so bad it almost destroyed me. And that's kind of like the thing I think we need to think about when we're thinking about friendship in terms of God. If we think of friendship in terms of God, I think we have a better chance of pulling it off. It doesn't mean that atheists can't be friends. Okay, that's not what I'm saying. But I do think that there's a strength you get from knowing that Jesus wants us to love each other. Think about Thessalonians. Jesus just doesn't want us to love each other, okay? If you think about the words of Paul, okay? Jesus just doesn't want us to love each other. Jesus wants us to look out for each other. Jesus wants us to correct each other. If our friend or our brother or our sister that we love as a friend is making mistakes that takes them further away from God's love, Jesus wants us to look out for our friend, even if that means saying things to our brothers and sisters that make them angry. And part of being a friend is being willing to listen to that, to allow oneself to be admonished for making those mistakes. And that too is part of it. Part of the friendship of Christ is not simply to always accept, but to accept always and have the courage to reject things. Not the person, but to reject things that pull the person further away from God. That's friendship. Friendship is not simply just accepting people for being who they are. That's great, and I think that's a part of it, but also part of friendship is helping a friend to not stumble. If you're walking with a friend down the street and your friend always talks about how good they are at sports and how balanced they are and how their coordination is so amazing, and it looks like your friend is about to trip because they don't see a rock in the road, do you let your friend trip and fall because you don't want to, you know, take away the illusion that your friend is perfect and can't possibly fall because they're so coordinated? Or do you say, buddy, watch out for the rock? Paul is telling people that you do not simply walk down the street. You do not allow your friend to fall without helping them. If your friend listens to your advice and ignores your advice and still falls, a good friend doesn't say, ha ha. A good friend is there also to pick you up so that you can try again. That's also part of friendship. I have met a lot of friends as a result of my podcast in the Liberty Movement, and I would say this, you know, the thing about the Liberty Movement in America right now, and this is true of both the Liberty Movement and what I would call authentic Christianity, although I know it sounds a bit judgmental, but okay, I think Paul says that's okay. The thing about the Liberty Movement and authentic Christianity in general is that there isn't a lot of resources for it. People are struggling. There's lots of resources for communism and poisoning people and doing all sorts of things. There's tons of money for dropping bombs on people. There's tons of money for torture and converting children's blood to a new sort of treatment for old people. But when it comes to authentic Christianity and freedom, there just isn't much cash. And I'm not complaining. It's not something to be angry about or not angry about. But one of the things about meeting these folks in the Liberty Movement is that there's always a lot of stress because folks want to do big things and they can't get the resources to do them. I mention this because that was one of those things that came up when I met a lot of folks in the Liberty Movement back in 2016-17, is that there's a lot of stress out there, you know, a lot of stress, a lot of frustration, a lot of, and I don't know how to put this, a lot of distrust and rightly so, especially given the current events. And so making friends in that atmosphere wasn't so easy, but I managed to make a couple that have stuck around, a couple that I continue to talk to, and a few of which I've met in person. Friendship is a vehicle of the Holy Spirit. It isn't the only thing that, you know, that you could say is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Lord. It's everything. But one of the ways, I think, within which the Holy Spirit works is through fellowship, is through friendship. It's not accidental that the Lord said, if two or more of you are gathered in my name, there is a church. That's not an accident. Jesus didn't just say things to say them. He was telling us, in some ways, he was unlocking one of the keys to God's grace. Yes, it's okay to be a hermit. I am a hermit. I am a hermit, and yet I can't imagine living this life without at least one friend other than Jesus. Jesus will always be my friend, but here on earth, while I'm living this life that does not last, it would be difficult. It would be lonely if it were just me. So yeah, I'm a hermit, but I see the strength and energy that my friends give me, especially the fact that, you know what your friends do? Your friends will accept the things about you that are not salvation critical. Being a hermit doesn't make you bad, okay? It doesn't. It just makes you a hermit. But when we get together, that's one of the ways in which the Holy Spirit works. A few weeks ago, I got together with a friend. I was able to hang out overnight. We went hiking. We had a great dinner. And that little retreat or escape from Seattle that I was given, it was a gift, and I'm very thankful for it. It helped tremendously. I know I mentioned to my friend that I felt like it was a reminder that I'm not dead yet. And in the last few months, it's been really easy to get suckered into this very dark perspective of feeling like the world is dead, that we're dead, but we're not. Friends remind us that we're not dead. Friends remind us that we're still here. Friends will pester us. Friends will seek advice. Friends will provide advice. But the advice, you know, can sometimes be taken with a grain of salt, just like mine, right? There are different kinds of friends for different parts of life, I think. And that might explain one of the reasons why childhood friends sometimes don't stick with you, okay? Or it's very difficult to maintain that relationship. I have one person that I know from grade school, from Catholic school, that I still talk to every once in a while. And he is a friend. He is a good guy. I care about him. But we don't talk that often. That's the one person. I haven't really spoken to friends from high school in years. A number of years ago, after my second high school reunion, I sort of made contact. At my third high school reunion I had a couple years ago, I was just kind of horrified. You know, just horrified by it all. Not the people in particular, just by it all. Don't want to go into that. So there are different kinds of friendships for different seasons of life. And the other thing is this, I think there's destiny in friendship. I didn't used to believe that because for most of my life I was an atheist, or at least I claimed to be one. I think I was just mostly angry at God. But for those years that I was angry at God, I would have said, well, it's chance, you know, it's random, it's systems theory, it's the flow dynamics of human society, the fact that any two people collide in some sort of collision of existence and that leads to friendship, that's just an accident. I don't believe that any longer. I don't really see accidents the way I used to. I think that there is destiny in friendship. I think the Lord in heaven puts people in the road. And I think the Lord in heaven, you know, does that because the Lord in heaven knows there are stones in the road. The Lord in heaven knows there are obstacles and challenges. The Lord in heaven knows that this is not Eden, that there are poor, that there is death, that there is pain, that there is suffering. But all those things can be mended in many ways just through friendship. So on this day, which is Valentine's Day, the thing I would say, the idea I would put out there, is that yes, today is about love, and love isn't just the love of friends. But on this day, I hope that if you have maintained your love with someone for more than a few months, if you are married and you've been married for more than a few years, and if you don't, well, how can I put this? If you still enjoy being with each other, then that means at least two things are going on, at least, hopefully. That you do love each other and that you are friends. And if the third thing is true, that you both love Jesus Christ, then I would say you have a marriage that is very strong. One of the features of that marriage has to be friendship. It just has to be. And friends bicker. So if you say, well, you know, my wife and I fight sometimes. Well, that's okay. I fight with friends a lot. Friends bicker, but friends know that it's just bickering. So if you are with someone today and you love them romantically, that's great. But if you love them romantically and you also enjoy being with them as a friend through thick and thin, good times, bad times, fat and skinny, sick and not sick, young and old, if you can be with someone for your whole life and love them as much when you're 70 years old as when you were 17, God bless you on this Valentine's Day. God bless your love. Because in that love is also friendship. And if you have friends you've had for years and years and years, and they have been there for you, God bless you. That's a blessing to you. And to all my friends out there, because currently I am not in any kind of a romantic thing. It's not that big a deal. You get to a certain point in your life and certain things, I think, just sort of slow down or disappear. But thankfully, I still have a few friends. So to all my friends out there, God bless you. Thank you for putting up with my crap. Thank you for listening to me when I get angry and crazy. Thank you for listening to me when I'm scared or sad. Thank you for the frustration, but also thank you for everything. Right now, I'd like to meditate for a bit and just do silent prayer for friends and brothers and sisters and neighbors, for people we know that are trapped in loneliness. Because loneliness is where the devil works his work. It's why churches are so important. It's why friendship is so important. The devil doesn't want friendship. The devil wants enmity between all people. So right now, if you know someone in your life that is lonely, someone that feels like they have no friend in the world, that they might not even know that you are their friend, I ask that we spend a moment to meditate and to pray silently on this issue. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Yes, today is about romantic love, but table that for a second. If there are friends you know that you haven't spoken to in years, but always assumed you'd have time to catch up, give them a call. If there's a brother or a sister you haven't spoken to because of some petty grievance, give them a call. If you are alone right now and feel like you don't have one friend in the world, I don't believe that's true. I know that there's at least one person that loves you, and that's Jesus Christ. But in this world right now, the world we have to struggle in, have faith. Have faith and have courage, because friendship takes courage too. Friendship takes a willingness to go out into the world and put yourself at risk. One hermit to all of you, it's not easy, believe me. As a hermit, it's not easy to crack open that door, to roll away the stone. But you can do it. You can do it. You can find people in this world that care about you. And if social media is one of the ways you can do this, then fine. But I would implore everyone to go beyond the electronic tools of friendship. I would implore everyone to embrace the idea that authentic friendship is more than what you get across a computer screen. And so if you can, to the extent possible, seek out friendship and accept it. But be wise. And the wisest way to seek a friend, in my humble opinion, is through God's grace and God's love. So pray to the Lord in heaven. Ask for the Lord to watch over you. Be unafraid and seek out friendship if you are alone. But know that the Lord loves you, alone or not alone. In the name of Jesus Christ, we serve. Amen.